And I remember one really, really tough, dark day where I was basically questioning everything. And the question was, why am I here? And it just came mercifully to me because I'm you, Jesus.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the One Link Podcast. I'm Brad, and I'm joined by my good friend James. James, how are things going?
Things are going great here. Good to be here. Excited about our guest today, as I always
Yes.
am.
You're always excited. I'm excited, so let's do it. Why don't you introduce him?
Well, today we have with us a young man by the name of Lawson, who recently moved to North Africa. And so we're excited to have you here, Lawson. Welcome to the One Link Podcast.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you all for inviting me. It's great to meet you and get to hang out today.
Yeah, it's the same here. It's funny. We seems like you and I have a lot of overlap with mutual friends and stuff, and now we get to be in person, and so that's always fun. And maybe sometime we'll actually get to be in person, and not over the wonderful world of the internet.
That's right. Would love that. Would love that. That'd be great.
Well, why don't you give us just a little bit of background? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are, and then we'll dive in with some questions.
A good first question. So, let's see, how did I get to where I am? I grew up overseas. I grew up in Southeast Asia. My parents were in ministry there full time. I lived there for a number of years and then moved back to the States, and my folks were involved in church planting with North America Mission Board. And then after that, ended up going to university and then working as an engineer for a number of years. Worked for 4.5, almost 5 years as an engineer, and really starting even before high school, but certainly in college, the Lord began working in my heart in regards to moving overseas, working full time, doing kingdom ministry overseas. And so the Lord had me on a special journey. Took a little bit longer after I graduated college, but eventually doors opened and the Lord pushed me through it to move overseas to North Africa. So here I am now.
Where did you go to, just out of curiosity, where did you go to school? Where did you go to college, Lawson?
Sure. I went to Oklahoma Baptist University.
Yeah, my wife is an alum from there, so
As
I'm
is
good
the
company.
right. No.
Yeah,
Oh,
I try
yes.
to do the like little fight song chant thing. She can still, I think she can
Yeah,
still do
correct.
it.
Go with correct.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Can you
If she
do
went
it,
to
or are
OU,
you
she can still do it.
too rusty
Oh,
on that?
I could still do it. If I was in a room of alumni, we could go with correct.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's why I couldn't go to OBU. I don't know if I could ever learn
All you could figure out how to say was "Go Pokes." That was as long as you
That's
could
right.
remember,
That's as
right,
long as
James?
we can
There
get.
you go.
Exactly
Yeah.
right. That's right. So what do you think? What took you to the point where you were ready to pull the trigger and apply for overseas service? Because I think you're in your late 20s, am I right?
That's right.
Yeah. So what made you
Yeah.
decide to pull the trigger?
A great question. I think the desire to pull the trigger, so to speak, started honestly back the end of college, right out of college. I came out of school with a little bit of debt, so there was just an inability to pull the trigger, so to speak. And then the Lord opened up some wonderful opportunities to do ministry in Oklahoma City while I worked as an engineer. And so the time horizon, so to speak, of when I was going to go and where exactly I was going to go became a little bit more, I don't want to say unclear or ambiguous, but I think the Lord, there were some things the Lord needed to work out in my life. So I think, I don't remember the exact dates, perhaps after a couple of years, I began the application process with the organization I'm with now. And that process took a little while. I put it on hold a couple times as ministry or life events took place that sped up during seasons and slowed down during seasons. But I would say, as far as wanting to pull the trigger, I think there was a pretty firm desire, I would say, out of my senior year that moving overseas, at least someday, if not in the near future, was something I wanted to do.
And did you do any short-term trips in college?
That's a great question. The Lord gave me the opportunity both. Well, there were a couple really short-term trips, one to New York City for just a week, but then I actually took several short-term trips to North Africa while I was in college, one my junior year and then another my senior year. And that was immensely formative for me, and actually ended up joining the team that I went on those short-term trips to
Okay.
visit. So that's amazing how the Lord works all that out. And if I may, James, I don't know if this is a question, but this is just wild for you here. My team leader went on a one-link trip while he was in college to Southeast Asia, where he met my parents while I was growing up there as a TCK.
Okay.
And then while he was there with his now wife. They moved back and I think started dating, or I think they if I'm not mistaken, one link doesn't allow you to date on the trip. So they either were
Okay.
dating before and they stopped, or they, started dating after. I'm not exactly sure the nuances there, but they ended up getting married, and they, through a number of circumstances, open and closed doors, moved to North Africa. And then I applied to go on a short-term trip years later and had no idea that that's where they were. Had no, I was a young kid when they came into Southeast Asia. And he wrote back and said, "Hey, is this the same guy that we met all those years ago in Southeast Asia?" And said, "Yep, sure is." And so just a wild story of how, yeah, I guess one link and the org that I'm with, and it's amazing to see how God weaves our stories together,
Yeah.
We don't allow dating on the trip, but we do recommend marrying a OneLink alumni if if possible. That's highly recommended because you can get some pretty
Highly
good ones.
strategic.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's
that's
right.
right.
Highly strategic. Yeah. That's right.
Let me ask you this, Lawson. So you graduated from OBU. I'm guessing you were maybe 22, 23. And so you've got, a good 5 years or so in there where you're working. How did you keep the desire? I mean, one of the challenges I think for a lot of people is that desire starts to fade to go overseas. They get comfortable in the States. What did you do to kind of keep that going?
That's a great question. I think first, honestly, I would just need to point to the kindness and providence of God, because no doubt, like as I was working as an engineer, like the pull of comfort and the pull of moving up the ladder, so to speak, in my company, or yeah, just putting that on hold is like always present, and in certain seasons more than others. So I think first I would just need to say it was the Lord. Some of the things that he used to help, like keep that desire strong or that calling strong. One, I was given by God, again, the wonderful opportunity of being a part of a fellowship in Oklahoma City that is just radically committed to reaching the unreached, internationals, refugees, international students, what have you, in our city. And so that was a wonderful place to grow and to partner in international work for those 5 years that I was in Oklahoma City. So I think that kind of kept it ever in front of my face. But then also was an awesome opportunity to really learn some of those skills that I would one day need overseas. So I cannot recommend high enough being, to any of the, 20-something-year-old students or recent grads that might be listening, just getting plugged into a church that has a heart for the Great Commission and has either short-term trips or focus locally on internationals and international students, because what we did there for 5 years isn't a whole lot different than what we're doing now in North Africa. It's really a lot of the all the same thing, right? They're lost people are lost people no matter where you are. And so I think the Lord used that time immensely in my life, growing me personally, but also giving me opportunity to serve the Great Commission, right where I was, some and even people groups that perhaps I would never have an opportunity to reach overseas because of restrictions or closed borders or what have you. So, yeah, I don't know. Does that answer your question, Brad?
It does. That's good to know. I mean, yeah, I think you just have to keep being faithful, and it sounds like that's what you were doing. Stay involved in ministering to people and plugged into your church. So that's a good word.
Yeah. And for our listeners, just to tie it all together, if you go back to season 4, episode 10, the guy who leads his church was on here on the podcast there. So you can hear that story and connect those two together. And so you get to see some of the fruit mentioned, some of the fruit out of that guy that we interviewed, Kirk. And you get to see where it's plot up again, lying in here. So yeah, finding some mentors that also love the Lord and love the nations and are going to keep pointing you to that seems,
amen,
really, really important.
Yeah.
How, just in terms of, I think you've mentioned it a time or two, of like some seasons of preparation or prepared you in different ways. How prepared did you feel like you were when you applied? And then what was the training that your organization provided you? How useful or not useful was it? And then by the time you left for the field, how prepared did you feel?
A good question. There are a series of questions. I think each component, yeah, I'll try to answer it all together. Each component had its value. The preparation before my organization's training, the really highly condensed fire hydrant that was my organization's training, and then the training I received here on the field, even from my team leader. So I think all of those kind of played together. Again, just pointing to God's providence, the church that I'm a member of back home in Oklahoma City and was able to be a part of and minister within while I was in Oklahoma City, we use a lot of the same language, tools, approach to church planting, to discipleship, to evangelism that my organization does. And so I think in many ways, whenever it came time to go to the training, the condensed training before I launched overseas, while it was of huge value to see everything all at once, there were many pieces that felt familiar in a good way, not in a boring way, but in a helpful way of connecting dots and seeing the whole picture. So again, just pointing back to the importance of being a part of a strong, you know, Bible focused, nations focused church, you know. I think that really prepared me to, I hope, get the most out of the condensed training with my organization before I went overseas. In regards to the training itself that I went through, I would say it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I don't know that I've ever been a part of any training that was both so thorough and so bathed in the concept of abiding in humility. And that was so refreshing. It was not an aura of, look at us, our organization is the best, this is the only way, this is, you know, everyone else is doing it wrong, we're doing it right. There was none of that overall. It was just a constant reminder to abide, to remain humble, to rely on one another, to die to yourself, you know, to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. And I think that's what I needed. Our trainers were so candid, and they were willing not only to train us the principles that they knew that we needed to hear, but they shared vivid and at times disturbing stories of their own life and their own experience of heartbreak and success, failure and discouragement, joys and low lows. And I think that was a huge help. And I think kind of setting the expectations where they needed to be in regards to going overseas. I think sometimes we can have a more worldly view or more, how do I say this, gold line, silver line view of what life overseas is going to look like. And it's hard. And so I think that was good to kind of get the raw, honest truth during training. So I'm grateful for it. And I think it's helped me even since I've been here in overseas in North Africa.
So you mentioned hard. You're 7 months into a 2-year term, is that right?
That's right.
Okay. So,
or 9 months technically, but yeah.
Oh, 9 months. Okay, sorry.
That's right.
James and I both been there, and so we remember some of the challenges. Some challenges you've had over the last 9 months?
That's a great question. So, let's see, a few challenges. There have been many. I'll share one. This is the one that I think is the easiest to just think of right away, but it's also one of the biggest pros or benefits. So I'll tell you what I mean by that. our team leaders like to use this term that I think is really helpful, called compressed community or condensed community. In the States, we often either like to or have the opportunity to segment all of our relationships, right? To have everything compartmentalized. So I have my friends from work, and then I have my friends that are my neighbors, right? And then I have my friends from church, and then I have my friends from college. And maybe those people know each other, but maybe they don't, right? And I, let's say perhaps if I'm, you know, living with a roommate in the States, for example, as a single man, I might go to church with him, but I may not do everything else with them. We may work two different places, right? Have different accountability groups, different discipleship opportunities, right? But when you move overseas to a team, you experience what our team leaders call condensed or compressed community, which is my roommate is also my ministry partner, and he's also my accountability partner. He's also one of my only friends, and therefore has to be my best friend. Or worst, right? At the same time. And then also, we are in language learning together. We share food. We travel together. We go to church together. We have the same boss. You see where this is going? So yeah. The number of overlaps is exponential, right? It's totally different than what a lot of our relationships look or are able to look like, right, in the States. So that is a lot of opportunity for sanctification. And that's a lot of opportunity to rub on someone the wrong way, to offend someone when you didn't mean to it, or even worse, when you did mean to do it, right? And so, but the bright side of that is the opportunity for sanctification, the opportunity to become more into the likeness of Christ, to be made into the likeness of Christ, to see your sin more clearly, perhaps, than ever before. Because, you know, again, in the States, have the luxury of, well, if I don't like someone, or if they're rubbing me the wrong way, I just talk to them as much or hang out with them. Or in the most extreme case, right, I just won't spend time with them anymore. Well, it's not an option when you're on a tiny team overseas. My team and my partner, we are the only people that I know of from America, from the United States, and in our whole town. And we're 3 hours away from the nearest, like, giant hub. Right. So if I want to hang out with someone from the United States, like, that's who I got to spend time with. So I think, again, just wonderful opportunity, I think, to see what is often the hard truth, but the needed truth about our own sin. And by God's grace, the guy that I'm here partnering with, a ministry partner, we've become deep friends and close friends over the last 7 months. But there were some really tough times at the beginning, right, where, again, not always because of sin. It might have been because of sin in my life or his life. Often it was. But sometimes it was just because of different upbringings, different stages of life, different ages, different perspectives on how to communicate, right? They weren't always sin things. And so I would say that is a great example of something that's at times been extremely hard, but yet looking back, and even not, you know, not having even finished the 2 years yet, looking back and going, oh my goodness, as tough and hard as that sometimes was, that was a huge gift from Jesus. Because, oh my goodness, I don't think I saw my sin as clearly, or in the worst case, didn't even see that there was sin in a particular area that was glaring, right? And so, yeah, that's hard, but I'm also grateful. So, yeah.
Yeah,
I think maybe our next podcast needs to be having your ministry partner on. We'll get his perspective on some of these things he has to say, right?
Hey, he could share a lot with you. No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. I'm sure he'd be happy.
Now, when we think about hard times, I think so often, like, what we're picturing when we move overseas is like the hard times culturally, the hard times linguistically. It's interesting to me that the kind of the first place you go to is that compressed community. And I would say we probably find that to be true on our short-term teams we send as well. Like, their interpersonal dynamics can sometimes be some of the hardest things that they deal with.
That's right.
But I'm also sure that there are some hard things linguistically, and there are some hard things culturally. What's that been like for you, learning a new language, learning a new culture? What's been the good, the bad?
No, that's a great question. Language learning has been challenging for me. going back again, this is another thing that ties into that relational dynamic. So my ministry partner, he is really gifted at language. So he has excelled. And so when you're doing ministry with someone and learning language along someone who's just sprinting and you feel like you're crawling, that can be hard, right? And humbling. And so I think that's been a really good thing for us to learn how to work through, and humility and love with one another. And also seeing that within the realm of language or culture, God has given it to us, each of us uniquely. And so being grateful for the ways that God has gifted us each, and not being jealous or covetous or envious, right, or resentful against the other. So I think in the realm of language, it's a bear. And I don't know, maybe there's some people out there that say language learning is easy. I haven't met them yet, but it's hard. It's really hard. And whenever you sign up to go overseas, you have these, or I shouldn't say you, but many people, myself being one of them, I think we have these ideas of what ministry is going to look like when I hit the ground, you know. And, you know, it's just not often the case. There's a lot of really hard work to be done, a lot of language, a lot of culture, a lot of figuring out how on earth do I get, you know, some cold milk? Like, where is the cold milk, you know? Or where on earth can I find a three-hole puncher? I still have not been able to find one in our whole country. If I want to hole punch my language sheets to put them in a three-ring binder, they have three-ring binders, but no three-ring hole punchers. So, like, I still haven't found that. So, like, there's all sorts of things, right? Just trying to figure out how to survive. That takes a long time before you feel like, wow, I'm really thriving in this place where I'm now living. I know how to get around. I can communicate. I can, you know, figure out what I need. So I think just maybe to anybody that's listening, considering going midterm or long-term overseas, don't give up on the language learning and don't throw it out. It is of immense importance. Just speaking from where I started, I came here, and when I was first here, I came from honestly a lot of burnout and exhaustion, and I think from a really tough place in life. So I don't know that I was at the optimal state in mind of mind to learn language optimally. But God was still merciful, even though I had a bad attitude perhaps about language at first. God was merciful, and now I'm going, wow, I'm now able to do things with the language I didn't think would be possible 7 months ago. And now I'm excited about what 7 months from now could look like in the language, rather than pessimistic about it. So I think, you know, sometimes, and with language, just like everything else, we overestimate what we can accomplish in a few weeks or a few months, and perhaps underestimate what God can do in 6 months or 6 years, you know. So the language has certainly been tough. Culture, I love working with Muslims. And if the Lord allows, I would love to work with Muslims for the rest of my life. So I'd say there's been aspects that are hard about culture, but that hasn't been the hardest part. I think some of the harder aspects, I think, are just, maybe some of the materialistic things can be hard. Just not having access to the things that I had back home and missing those, you know. Missing my Sabbaths back home in the coffee shop I used to sit at on a Saturday morning, and just really missing that, or missing some of the foods I used to enjoy, or the ease of access. Or one of the things that's been pretty hard is, while we have access to kind of a mass transportation, taxis, buses, trains, I don't have a car where I'm currently at, and me nor my roommate have cars. And so I don't think I realized how much I enjoyed being able to drive myself wherever I wanted to go in the States, and now feeling like, oh wow, I'm really dependent on others. So that's again an opportunity to grow in humility of, wow, if I just want to go to someplace a little ways more than a taxi ride away, I have to do a lot of planning and may have to ask someone for help. And so I think just those opportunities to die to self, maybe. I cannot commend Elizabeth Elliot's works enough, her books and podcast, to any of the listeners today, but she talks a lot about dying to self and how being overseas is sanctifying. And I think that really ties in with the language and culture piece and learning how to live somewhere that is perhaps doesn't have all the Western amenities, you know, that your home once did or still does and you miss. So maybe one more for you. I think the hardest, and perhaps this is the same for everyone that moves overseas, the hardest piece, it comes in different ways in different seasons, but the hardest is always the relationships, right? Missing people back home, missing family, friends, church, ministry partners. God graciously blessed me with a wonderful ministry team back in Oklahoma, some wonderful, wonderful friends, brothers, sisters in Christ, family that I love. And so I think that that's not a reason not to go, but that's a cost to count when you go. No. And that's been challenging. That's been really hard because as much as, you know, I might miss this or that food or this or that coffee shop, right? It's usually nowhere near as much as I miss the friends, the relationships, the people, right? The community that I was able to be a part of. So yeah, I think that's something to be aware of if you're preparing to go overseas.
Our listeners can't see this, but you're wearing a shirt that says "Hang in there." Is that something? Is that kind of talking to yourself or what?
Oh man, maybe it is. Maybe it is, Brad. So I'll nerd out for a moment. It's actually a Star Wars shirt. So it's Luke hanging underneath the Cloud City Bespin, and so he's hanging in there with his one arm has been cut off by Darth Vader and he's with his other arm. And so Luke Skywalker is hanging in there underneath Cloud City. But yeah,
that's probably how you feel some days, right?
Sometimes I do feel like I'm just hanging in there. I have my TL sometimes has to tell me, "Hey, hang in there, brother. Don't die. Hang in there."
I think it was the great William Carey that was like, "I can't do a lot of things, but I can plod. Like, I'll just plod along." And, you know, when you look back at everything he did in his life, I'm like, doesn't seem like plodding to me, but plodding and hanging in there will get you a long ways. So that's
what Jesus can do with our few fish and a few loaves.
Yes. Yes. It's amazingly so. How have you known God different, or how do you know God different because you went that you wouldn't know him if you'd stayed?
Well, I don't think someone's asked me that since I've been here. I'd like to think about that a little bit, actually, even after this call. Yeah, that's a great question. How have I known God differently?
James likes to give the hard ones here. He's gonna.
Yeah. I wish I would have thought about this a little bit more beforehand. I'm trying to think of, I don't know if I have an answer right off the top of my tongue. I know that there are some answers, but I'm not sure exactly what I would say right away. I need to chew on it. Yeah, but I really like that question.
Part is what you'd said right before that made me think about this. So we've talked a lot about the hardness and the difficulties and some of the stuff. But I guess part of the question is it worth it? Why is it worth it? Would you do it again? What would you say to somebody who's like on the fence? Do I go? Do I not go?
It is worth it. It is worth it. And Jesus is worth it. He's worth all the cost 1,000 times over. But I think whenever you're in those really hard moments, whether it's before you go, while you're in training, on your way to go, or when, you know, after you arrive on the field, I think remembering your why is really important. That's something, again, my team leaders encouraged me with, other mentors have shared. It's not original to me, just something others have encouraged me with. And I remember one really, really tough, dark day where I was basically questioning everything. And the question was, you know, why am I here? And it just came mercifully to me because I'm you, Jesus. But that's why I'm here at the end of the day. It's not for me. As much as Christ wants these people to know them, it's not ultimately for their glory, right? It's for God's glory and their good. But ultimately, it's for God's glory, for his glory among the nations. And so just being willing to come back to that and going, That's right. No matter how hard it is, how tough it is, I'm not here because this is going to be really fun. Although sometimes it is, right? I just got to hike a mountain the other day and it was awesome. I'm not just here to have really good gospel conversations, although we get to have them. Had a wonderful opportunity to share with a close friend of mine on the top of that mountain. We hiked together. So, but ultimately it's for the glory of God and for his name's sake. And it's a gift to him. And I think, I pray that that's a beautiful, sweet aroma to him. When we're in our lowest, most painful moments, that it is a gift to him. If nothing else, it is a gift for him.
Amen. That's probably a little something we could take to heart as well, James.
Yeah, it is. What would you say? I think we've touched on this a little bit, but I'm just thinking about to the person who's listening, who's trying to weigh, do I apply? Do I apply now? Where do I go? How do I decide where to go with all the needs in the world? What kind of advice would you give them for your own personal experience?
I like that question too. I am so grateful for, she's now moved to a different position, but she used to be in charge of basically what my university's version of OneLink is. And she would always say to us, just start the conversation. Just because you apply doesn't mean you're going, you know, just because you ask a question doesn't mean you're going to apply. Start the conversation. And I think if I was, speaking to a room of 20-something year olds, I would just encourage, unless you feel super strongly, I mean, the Lord has spoken to you through his word or through mentors, you know, his spirit, a combination of those things, right, in your life, you're not to move overseas, you have an inkling that maybe one day I should, then I would just encourage people to start the conversation. Go on a short-term trip. Go on a one-link trip. If you've gone on a short-term trip and you think, you know, I might want to move overseas in the next couple of years, I would say, goodness, there is no harm in applying. You have nothing. You can only gain from that process, because either A, you're going to end up overseas, which is a wonderful thing for you and for the kingdom and for the Lord, or in the Lord's eyes, I should say. But also, if you don't end up going with that particular organization, you will have learned so much about yourself, about that organization, about the Lord's purposes and ministry in your life. So I've known a number of people that have gone through the application process that end up places they didn't think they would go, right? Or in a couple of cases, they don't end up going, but it's not for loss, right? It's because God strongly called them a different place. One guy in particular, I love, a dear brother in Oklahoma City, he actually applied to go on a 2-year term and ended up through that process feeling called to the south side, Oklahoma City, and has stayed there for 10 plus years now doing faithful ministry. And it was so clear that God was calling him to do that, but God used the application process to go overseas to actually show him that he was called to stay. So I would say to anyone listening, if you think that maybe God's calling you to go, start the conversation, talk with your pastor, with your elders, with your international work director at your local fellowship. I didn't even encourage you, again, unless the God is just, you know, strongly leading you otherwise. Application processes take a little bit of time, and they vary from company, from organization to organization. So there's no harm in filling out an initial form and just learning a little bit about the different organizations that are out there, what the timelines look like, and what where people are going, or what options are available. So I would definitely encourage people in that. You also asked, James, a question about, how did you decide? Could you reword that part of the question again?
How did you decide where to go? What were you, you know, how does someone decide if they're weighing all these options? You know, the world is huge, needs are everywhere. Did you love the people? Did you love your team? Did you know it was a strategic, you know, like, how do you weigh all those competing factors?
Yeah, that's really good. A piece of advice that I was given a little while back that I am so grateful for had some mentors. They said it in several different ways. One way was, it's hard to steer a ship that's not moving, or it's hard to steer a parked car. And so I would encourage folks, probably with a similar statement, that start moving in the direction of overseas, and then start moving in the direction of a couple things that you know. I think God in His providence puts us with people in churches, right, in communities, even gives us friends that are going to providentially steer us where we need to go if we're walking with Him. If we're walking in rebellion to Him, not listening, that's a different story, right? But He is, if we are genuinely asking God, Lord, would you leave me? He's not going to let us down. How is He not going to show us? You know, it's His delight when His children are wanting to do His will, right? And abiding closely with Him. And so there's a beautiful verse in scripture that talks about God putting up thorn bushes, right? To hedge in our way, right? Or hedge in His people, Israel, right? And so I think just even praying a prayer like, God, you know, hedge me in with your thorn bushes. Have your thorn bushes ready if I'm going off the wrong way, right? But I think as we're walking with Him and we're seeking Him in the context of godly community and mentors, and most importantly, through prayer and His word, God is going to make where we need to go clear. But it is hard to steer a ship that's not moving, right? It's just, you can't. So I think just start moving, and then God is going to bring about the dynamics that He knows you need to make that decision, whether it's teaming. That's a very important piece, right? And being a part of a strong, healthy team, or a particular people that God's called you to, or a particular organization, or a mixture of all of the above, right? I think God is really merciful and patient with us. And so I think if we show Him we're willing, that's His desire.
Well, we're getting to that time. I think, you know, at our trainings, Lawson, we have this graphic that shows some people groups are event focused and some are time focused. I think we could put James on one of those and me on the other. You know, we sort of represent that here. I'm the Western time focused one. James is very more Eastern in his approach, right? So, anyways, but we make a good team. It's been awesome to talk with you, James. You have any final thoughts here?
No, really, really glad you came on with us. Maybe we'll have you on again sometime. But
it'll be a privilege, James.
If you think about this great answer to how do you know God different, you can pop back on and we'll talk about that.
Hey, that sounds great.
Yeah,
that sounds great. One other thing popped into my mind, if it's helpful, going back to God's delight in us to be willing. I haven't figured this out yet. I think God's in the process of teaching me about it, but lately I'm learning that His desire, I think, is for us to walk in love and holiness. And in the context of that, in total surrender and absolute trust. And if I'm walking in total surrender and absolute trust, prayerfully, I will be like clay that God can mold. And I think that plays into where you go, how you go, who you go with as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. One dimension.
That's awesome. Well,
couldn't have summarized it better ourselves, could we?
That's exactly right. What's one or two things people could be praying for you and your people, knowing that some of them may not listen for a year or two this podcast? What's a good long-term prayer request?
That's a pretty pessimistic outlook, James. Come on now.
That's optimistic, you know, as 10 years from now, people are listening and they're like, oh, I'm going to pray for Lawson.
There you go.
Hey, praise the Lord. I need it. Let's see. Perhaps one for me personally, just for my abiding and walk with the Lord, and that the Lord would accomplish in my heart and in my mind all that He intends and desires during this term overseas, and that I would be, again, fully surrendered and completely trusting in Him for that and in that process. Yeah, I think prayer for my abiding. That's the main thing that I need prayer for, and protection from the enemy. I know that's something we didn't talk about maybe another time, but there is, like Paul talks about, an onslaught of fiery arrows, right, that are headed your way. And so that I would hold up the shield of faith. I would take up the armor of God each day and trust in Jesus. And then for our people in North Africa, just I think simply pray that thousands and thousands of Muslims across North Africa would come to know Jesus, and that they wouldn't be afraid or apathetic, but they would choose to follow Jesus and to walk with him and to share boldly whatever it takes, no matter the cost. And that across the mountains here where I live, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of small villages. And me and a handful of other people are the only ones I think that we know of that are in this region actively trying to reach them. And so if that resonates with your heart while you're listening to this podcast, we're just one people group of thousands across the world. How are these sweet, beautiful kids and old ladies and old grandpas and moms and dads way up in the mountains ever going to hear Jesus, about Jesus, unless someone goes and tells them? Many of them are illiterate. Many don't have phones. Many don't have much of an education. Some of them can't speak the local dialect, only their tribal tongue. And they have no idea of the truth about Jesus. And unless someone tells them, the Bible says that they'll spend eternity away from Christ. But he has sent this team I have a privilege to be a part of, and maybe someone like you listening, in order that they might know him.
Well, y'all be praying for that. And if that resonates with you, you come talk to Brad and I, and we'll connect you in, and you could go be on this cool guy's team. Really appreciate you.
Grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining the One Link podcast, and look forward to what you have next on tap for us, James. So thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time.
See y'all. Thank you.